You're listening to the Mom Inspired Show, episode 23 with Lindsay McCarthy. Welcome to the Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg, and this show is created to inspire, encourage, and add a little extra fun to your day. Hey, you guys, do you ever feel like your mornings are just super crazy, chaotic, and rushed? Well, what do you think about having a seamless morning? Do you think it's possible? Well, this week we have Lindsay. She's the co-author of Miracle Morning for Parents and Families, and she shares with us practical ways to start your morning off right with your kids. She tells us how to get your kids to be more creative, healthy, be thankful, be present, and also to learn to have quiet time. Even if you don't implement all the things that we talk about in this episode, I hope that you're able to pick what you feel is important for your family and that it helps set the tone for your morning. Let's go to the show. Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me, Amber. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on too. I think the listeners are really going to enjoy this show. But first, I like to start off every show with an icebreaker. I love to travel, so it's always fun for me to ask people where they have vacationed. So what is your favorite vacation spot? And this can be with or without kids.
Gosh, I'd have to say Bonaire has been my favorite so far.
Where is that?
So Bonaire. It's right next to Aruba. Oh. Aruba, Bonaire, and then Curacao. That's the ABC Islands. It's off the coast of Venezuela. We learned to scuba dive there on our honeymoon, and it was just magical.
That's awesome. I would like to go to Aruba and stuff like that. What made you pick that island versus, is it Curacao?
Curacao. We actually went to both. We went to Curacao and Bonaire.
Okay, but you like Bonaire better than Curacao?
Yeah, it was just a little more laid back. It's a smaller island, and the people there were just so friendly. I liked both.
Oh, awesome. And then
if I had to choose, Bonaire would be it.
Okay, cool. What resort did you stay at? Did you like your resort?
Oh, I can't remember the name of the resort. It was 11 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Was it an all-inclusive or do they have
it
those there?
It was all-inclusive. Okay. Yeah. It was really nice. And you could dive right off the beach there, which was really cool.
Oh, that is nice. Yeah. Versus having to travel. You mean like further?
Yeah, like you didn't have to get in a boat and go on a boat dive. You could just literally scuba dive right off of the beach.
So you just literally walk in and then just go.
Yep.
And is there like a lot of different kind of fish and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. There's all these different colored corals and the fish just come right up to you. And nice. All kinds of different things down there. So
that's awesome. Yeah. My husband loves to snorkel and all that stuff. And he has done scuba diving one time. And so that's totally up his alley. So that's something to think about. Because I've heard of Curacao and obviously Aruba, but not Bonaire. So definitely something to add to the list to look at.
Yeah.
Well, let's get started into the show. How about you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. So my name's Lindsay McCarthy, and I recently published a book called The Miracle Morning for Parents and Families. I've been married for 10 years, and we have two beautiful kids, Tyler, who's 8, and Ember, who's 4.
That's awesome. So you wrote a book, and it's called The Miracle Morning. And what made you decide to write a book? And how about you tell us a little bit about what it entails?
Sure. So I kind of had this idea back in 2006. That was the year we got married and we knew we wanted to start a family. So I thought, why don't I write a parenting book and I'll interview all the people I know who are amazing parents and ask them, you know, what advice they wish they had before they had kids. And that was kind of my original idea. And then I kind of put that on the back burner and forgot about it and got busy actually having kids and raising them.
Yeah.
And then in 2014, we heard Hal Elrod speak, who wrote the original Miracle Morning book. And he has this idea where you practice these 6 things every morning, which he calls the lifesavers. It's silence, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and scribing. And so my husband and I started doing those things And as we started doing them, our kids kept interrupting us. And so long story short, we started teaching our kids how to do the Miracle Morning. And then we met Hal again in 2015 and told him how we were teaching it to our kids. And he basically said, why don't you write a Miracle Morning book about teaching parents how to teach their kids? And that's how the book came about. And then I did use that idea I had back in 2006, where we interviewed 12 different parents throughout the book, and they kind of give us their best practices.
That's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know what? If you can, what is one of the couples that you use? What was one thing that stood out to you that you're like, wow, they're really good at this?
So one of the guys in the book, Seth Campbell, he has this idea where at the beginning of the year, he gives his kids 12 index cards and they write down something they really want to do one-on-one with dad. And then every month they pick one of the cards and they go and do that. And
I
it's just
that.
Such a, yeah, it's so practical. I'm like, yes. Oh, why didn't we think of that before?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, those are easy things to do that, you know, it's just, you don't think about it, you know, and then when you hear it, you're like, why didn't I think about that? But I think it's so, I think that is great because I think a lot of people have the intention, right? Oh, we're going to hang out with even our spouses, right? We're going to do this. We're going to have this many date nights, or we want to hang out with this kid and the other kid. You know, if you have multiple kids, and the more you have, that gets a little bit more trickier. But I think that is great because then it's like you get to see what they're wanting to do. The kids are the ones who suggested it, so they're obviously going to love it. It's not like the parents are trying to dictate what they're going to do on that one-on-one time. And so it's like the kids have something to look forward to knowing like dad has seen that. And obviously it can work for moms too. And I just love that. I think that's a great tip to start the year. And even if the year has already started like now, but even if people hear this later on, you can still start it whenever, you know, and just do it for a year out from the time that you start. So that's awesome. Yeah. Well, and so I noticed in your table of contents that it says why mornings matter, and then in parentheses, more than you think. So can you tell us a little bit more about why you think it's so important to start your day off right? And if you're not a morning person, why is it still good to start off the morning in a certain way?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, the morning just sets the tone for the whole rest of the day. So if you're starting your morning really frazzled, it's just going to kind of snowball throughout the day. So having a framework of the savers to do those things in the morning, and you can even do it in just 6 minutes, because you can just do silence for a minute, say affirmations for a minute, you know, visualize real quick for a minute, even just do a minute of exercise, just get the blood pumping with some jumping jacks or something like that. Read a quote, you know, and then write down one thing you're grateful for. And just doing those six things, even really fast in 6 minutes, you're still setting yourself up to have a great day, because the Miracle Morning to me is much more about the way you start the day and the mindset with which you start the day than what time. So that would be my answer for that.
So can you go over again what the breakdown is of each six steps? And then did you figure out that, okay, you can get by with a minute and still feel like you're starting your day off? Did you figure that out somehow with maybe having babies or something that you're like, okay, I can't do this for a half hour. So if I do this for a minute, or is this somewhere, did you learn this somewhere else?
Actually, Hal Elrod, he is the one who created the 6 minute savers. So the savers are, again, are silence, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and scribing.
Let's talk about silence. So people could use that as prayer time or just silence, right? And then the second one is what is it again?
Is affirmations. So basically just an I am statement. So I am awesome. I am brave. I'm creative. Hal actually has a whole system too, where you kind of, as adults, we kind of get hung up a little bit on affirmations sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So instead of just saying like, I am a money magnet, which doesn't feel true to you.
Yeah.
you know, then your subconscious mind is like, no, you're not.
You're in debt.
You're not. Well, yeah. What are you talking about? So he has a formula where you can say something like, I am committed to becoming a millionaire by doing X, Y, and Z today and getting me closer to that goal.
Now with the kids, they are probably making more simple statements like, I am happy or I'm strong, you know, I'm smart or whatever. And so are they having to just come up with a bunch of different ones for a whole minute?
So what I've done with our kids is we just gave them a little blank book and it goes alphabetically. So they literally say, I am awesome. I am brave. I'm creative. I'm a discoverer. I'm effervescent. I'm fun. And they go all the way from A to Z. And it, you know, creating those took a while. Each day they would kind of create a new one and just say, you know, where they were up to in the alphabet that day until they got to Z. And, but now Tyler's been doing it for over a year. He has his memorized and he can just spout them out.
Now, do you guys change them over time for the kids?
We haven't changed theirs yet.
Okay.
Like I said, he's been doing it a little over a year.
Sure.
And he's had the same ones.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to give everyone an idea of what you're doing. So, and how old is he again?
He's 8.
Okay, so he's 8. And how old's your daughter?
She's 4.
4. So how do you get her? I mean, can she read yet at this point? Or when
she
you started
can't
it?
She can't read or write yet. So yeah. I would say, okay, Emmy, we need an A word today. And I would give her some choices. So do you want, I am awesome, I'm amazing, I am adorable, you know, like,
of course.
So
yeah.
I gave her some choices and, you know, she picked, I am amazing. So I wrote that down for her. Day one, that's all she said. I am amazing.
Aw, that's so cute. Now, if people don't really understand affirmations, kind of similar to what you were saying, that adults are kind of like, eh, what would you say the impact is? Because I could imagine some people maybe thinking this is so cheesy. And just because you're saying this doesn't mean you're going to become this. So, you know, if people haven't gone to Tony Robbins events, which I know you have, I feel like it may be a little bit out of their comfort zone or just feel weird. So do you have any thoughts to letting people know more about this that are not familiar with this thinking, okay, really, how is this going to change anything? I would just love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is that it is going to feel weird. It is going to be outside your comfort zone and just to be aware of that. And, but also to know that it really is so powerful because when you're saying them out loud like that, and actually you don't even have to say them out loud, just repeating them in your mind over and over, you literally are rewiring your brain. And as you're doing that, when you start believing what you're saying is true, you will become what you're saying. So,
yeah, and I believe that. And what I feel like people need to understand is as humans, we are already doing the negative to this. So as weird as this could sound to some people that you're like, this is so weird or cheesy, in your mind, you are already saying stuff like I suck or I didn't, you know, I didn't do this or I'm not smart enough or this person's better than me. And so if people could realize that if you could just flip and do what you're already doing on the negative and start doing positive statements to yourself, it would be so much more beneficial. So because I'm just trying to pull in the people that may think this is so bizarre and that they don't realize that they probably are doing negative self-talk all the time. And so, hey, if we're going to do these statements, you might as well make them positive instead of just being like, you know, this sucks or this stinks or, you know, I hate this or whatever. And so that's just kind of why I wanted to point that out. And then the other one that stood out to me, did you say scribe? Does that mean you're writing something down?
Right. So journaling.
So even for a minute, like you're just like writing anything that you want, probably maybe like stuff that you're thankful for or anything that's on your mind. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Yeah, I think the easiest way to start any journaling practice is just simply through gratitude, writing down, you know, what went well today and what am I grateful for?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I feel like your life does change the more grateful that you are and the more that you're recognizing the things that you're grateful for. So I do feel that is really important. So, well, let's jump into what can you tell us that you have found to be crucial when trying to set up your ideal week?
I mean, people work habitually. A lot of our thoughts are the same. A lot of what we do on a day-to-day basis are all the same. So if you can kind of create your week in habits, I've found that really helpful for myself. So what I'll do is create the ideal week. So, you know, Monday, I always go to the grocery store. You know, I already know exactly what I'm doing on Mondays. I wake up, I do my miracle morning, we go to the gym, we go to the grocery store, we come home, we put the groceries away, we do homeschool. You know, I already know what the day looks like. And then Tuesday, I already know what the day looks like. But then as a parent, you know, sometimes you're throwing curveballs where the kid's sick or, you know, your daughter really needs a nap. So I've kind of created what I call a flexible ideal week. So say we don't make it to the grocery store on Monday, then I know it takes me 2 hours to go to the grocery store. So I'm going to put that in on Tuesday instead in a 2-hour block. And, you know, while Ember's taking a nap on Monday, instead, I'll do whatever I had plugged in for 2 hours on Tuesday and just flip flop those.
That makes sense. But, yeah.
Yeah. But I have like my whole week, I know exactly what I'm already doing and I'll kind of like batch things. So Thursdays are kind of my work days where, you know, I know from the time I drop the kids off to school till they come home, that whole day is dedicated to work.
Now you do homeschool. So are you talking about like a co-op or something like that?
Yeah. So our kids, they go to an alternative school. So they're only there 3 days a week. They're there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So they do actually go to a physical, it's kind of like a homeschool support community is the best way I can describe it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then do you do the homeschooling yourself on Monday and Friday for your son?
Yep.
Got it. Okay. And is your daughter considered in preschool?
Yeah, she's still in preschool. So we don't really do a whole lot of formal schooling with her. It's more just we read together and have fun.
Yeah. So how do you, I feel like a lot of parents have to deal with the whole dinner time. And, you know, that's just kind of crazy, the witching hour. And it seems like from 4 to 7, things are just insane. Have you figured out anything to make that go more smoothly or any tips that you have, you know, figured out, you know what, this works best for things not to be so chaotic?
Yeah. So our kids, we're teaching them how to cook. So they actually will help me cook dinner a lot of nights. So Tyler now uses a knife on his own. So he'll chop the vegetables for a salad or, you know, I try to involve them in as many things as we're doing as possible. So they'll help set the table or, you know, get drinks for everybody. I just feel like involving them as much as possible makes things go so much easier. Yeah. And on those bad days, you know, that's when iPad time is allowed. And you say, okay, now it's time for your electronics and they can go play on their electronics while mommy gets dinner done. So it doesn't take forever.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I mean, what did you do when your daughter was a lot younger? Like when she was 1 and 2, how did you manage to make things be easier than, because right now they're older and you can include them? Because I'm thinking, you know, there's listeners that have young kids and maybe they can't do so much with helping with dinner. And I just wondered if you had any tips with what you have found to kind of make things go a little bit more seamless.
Yeah, well, when they were little, I would keep them in the kitchen with me and I would just kind of block off the kitchen and put some toys on the floor for them. So they would just, you know, from a very young age, I was kind of wanting my kids to be autonomous. So I would you know, if they were crying and wanted me to pick them up, I'd pick them up for a minute, distract them with a toy, put them back down. And I just feel like that was really helpful, where they were doing their own thing, even at a really young age. I wasn't always having to cater to them so
much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. What advice would you give to new moms that are realizing it's so hard to focus, you know, on self-care when they have an infant?
Yeah. You know, I remember when my kids were really little, they loved my bathroom. So I actually was really well groomed as a new
mom.
That's
funny.
I would just bring them in the bathroom with me, and sometimes I would even bring them in the tub with me, and they would just, you know, I would kind of do self care with them by my side. So I would, you know, have them in the tub with me or in a carrier right next to the tub, and they just would kind of hang out with me while I took a nice relaxing bath. And I think another thing too is don't be afraid to ask for help. I think a lot, me as a new mom, I was afraid to ask for help. And I even share a story in the book where I think Tyler was only a couple weeks old and I was cutting his fingernails for the first time, and I cut his finger instead of his fingernail, and
yes,
he was bleeding all over the place. And luckily my mom had stopped by to like visit, and she just scooped him up and calmed him down and turned to me and said, "Lindsay, go take a nap." And like, I was just, you know, I was bawling because I had cut my son's finger and I felt like a horrible mother. And she was just like, "It's okay. Go take a nap. Take care of yourself. Like, you can't take care of your kids unless you're taking care of yourself first." And that was just such a powerful lesson for me. And I thank God I had it when, you know, Tyler was 2 weeks old instead of, you know, getting older. And so just being able to lean on my mom, and if you don't have your mom close by, like, find a babysitter, find a friend, find somebody who can help you out. Cause, and it, you don't have to pay for it either. Like, you can trade with a neighbor and, you know, get creative if you have to, but find the help, because it's so hard to do alone.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. And I was going to say, so when you had your second child, were you guys already doing like the Miracle Morning and stuff like that?
We had a meditation practice and a journaling practice. You know, I started meditating and journaling when Tyler was about 6 months old. And I've been an athlete my whole life, so I have to work out to stay sane.
Yeah, I understand that.
So, you know, I was already working out. So it was really just adding a few more pieces when we learned about the Miracle Morning. But I remember meditating with my kids, like while I was breastfeeding, I would meditate with them. And when your kids are so young like that, they're connected to you on an energetic level. So if you're meditating while they're just in your presence, it's kind of like they're meditating too. So I think, you know, us as adults, we get hung up on meditation too, kind of like affirmations. We're like, "Oh, that seems hard and weird and different." And it's really not. It's really just about being, sitting still and quiet and hearing your own thoughts.
And, well, I think it's about being present. And I think that's what people don't understand. I think that some people can think, "Oh, that's so weird and so new agey." And it really doesn't have to be. I mean, it really is just about what you were saying. I think we don't take the time to sit. And I do think for some, it could be scary, right? To just really sit down with your own thoughts, because you're thinking, "What am I going to think about?" And and then you're worried about thinking about what you're going to think about. And because we're so used to being distracted and interrupted and occupied by screens and all this stuff. And so I just want to make a point that meditation can look different. I mean, you can just be in prayer. You can be just being present and thinking, and or you can do whatever, you know, what you feel is comfortable. And so I do think that's a good point, that you're just sitting, and how long? So, okay. So are you doing it for the minute, or are you doing it generally more than a minute?
Yeah, I'll typically meditate for 5 to 10 minutes, and it's the first thing I do when I wake up. So, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I can't meditate right when I wake up or I'll fall back asleep.
Yeah.
And I guess some people are like that, but for me, it helps me kind of wake up more slowly. So,
yeah. So do you get out of bed and go sit somewhere and meditate, or are you meditating laying in bed? What does it look like for you?
I don't personally get out of bed. I have a pillow that's kind of like a seat on my bed, and I do sit up.
Oh, okay.
But I don't get out of bed until after my meditation. So.
Yeah, no, that's good for people to know. Cause I think sometimes people may think they have to make it this whole ordeal, and you know, it really is just kind of getting your thoughts straight and just starting the day. And I know it is hard. I personally don't meditate. But when I do, when I have kind of sat still, even if I'm in the prayer or I'm just kind of thinking about things that I'm grateful for, it feels so good to do it, but there's such a resistance to doing it. I don't know. Like, it's kind of like when you are working out and then you kind of fall off the wagon, even though mentally you're like, I know it'd be really good for me to work out. It seems so hard to get back into that groove, even though mentally, you know, this is really good for you and you feel awesome. So
yeah.
I do think that it's good for people to try things for a minute. I think it's daunting to be like, oh, 5, 10, 15 minutes, because I think they're panicking, thinking, what am I going to think about? But I think kind of following those steps, you can think, okay, well, I'm going to do that for a minute. And then I was going to ask you, so I know you probably work out more than 1 minute, but was there a time that you only did work out for a minute just because, I don't know, maybe you had a new baby and you're just kind of like, I can't do it? And if you did, what did that look like?
Yeah, I think during your miracle morning, like even if you have a workout practice that you're going to do later in the day, like just getting your blood pumping just to help you wake up is so helpful. And there's different apps that you can download too. Like there's a 7 minute app.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where it's like a full body workout in 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And like if you just did that every day and didn't even have a workout practice, like you would be amazed at how good of shape you'll get into after a month of doing that every single day.
Yeah. So I agree.
I think people do. They make it into something bigger than it really is. And you could literally just do a minute of jumping jacks. Like with our kids, a lot of times we just want to get them moving around in the morning too. So we like to play Simon Says, and we'll say,
that's a good idea.
Oh, like Simon Says, do 3 burpees, you know, and then
that's
the kids
so funny.
Do 3 burpees.
I feel like you it's know. So much easier to do a burpee when you're a child closer to the ground.
Yeah, right. Kids love star jumps, you know, like do 10 star jumps.
Yeah. You definitely can tell you work out. Just thinking, people are thinking, what is a star jump and what is a burpee? So that's cute. But so now do you get up before the kids get up so that you can get a full workout in?
I usually do my workout after I drop them at school on the days they go to school. Or now Tyler loves to run. So on Mondays and Fridays, we'll sometimes go on a run together. And we'll stay home with dad, or Tyler will run with dad, vice versa. We switch on and off a lot, Mike and I. So
yeah, no, that's good. Now, when the kids were younger and you weren't taking them to school, how were you working in your exercise?
Well, luckily at our gym, they had daycare provided. So I would take them to the gym with me and put them in, you know, the kids club, they called it, and then go do my workout and come pick them up.
Yeah, no, that always is a great option when you have that. I
know there's tons of stuff online too where you can actually incorporate your baby into your workout, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's
yeah.
all these postnatal yoga classes where they use the baby as a prop in the yoga class, which I used to take that right when, I think it was right after Ember was born, and I took a class locally, a yoga class where you brought your baby and used your baby in the class, which was really fun.
Yeah, I've never done that, but I've seen it and it looks interesting. I mean, I feel like it would be worth a try, especially if you don't have other kids at home with you, either if they're at school or it's your first baby, it's a lot easier to figure that out if you're just worrying about the infant. And so, well, we're almost at the end of the show, but I wanted to ask you, is there a simple task that you would recommend to moms to help them start off the morning, especially when they're trying to get the kids off to school? And, you know, it's just kind of like that crazy time trying to get everybody going. Like, is there anything that you've learned that has really helped streamline that?
I think, like I said before, just making it a habit, because I don't even think about it anymore. It's just kind of what we do in the morning. And we incorporate it into our morning. So I didn't mention this before, but in the book, we created a new acronym for kids, which is called CHARMS, which stands for creativity, health, affirmations, reading, meditation. And then we added one called service. So like every morning when our kids get up, they have an art table in the kitchen. They go and they start creating something. And usually I'll still be in bed meditating and they're already downstairs doing their own thing. And then health, they know they have to eat breakfast before we go to school. And we read a lot on the way to school. So we'll just put in an audiobook that everybody listens to.
Oh, that's cool.
Sometimes Ember will climb in bed with me and do my meditation with me in bed before we come downstairs. Or they literally will just sit in silence for a minute. We have a little timer that we flip over, the 1 minute sand timer, and they watch the sand go in silence. And then, you know, that's their meditation.
Yeah.
It's just them being mindful of the sand dropping, and they understand they have to be quiet for that whole minute. So it's, you know, it takes a lot of time to teach them, but once they're taught, it actually saves time in the morning because they know exactly the six things they have to do in the morning. And, you know, they've become autonomous with it. They just do it on their own. Ember still needs help with her affirmations.
Sure.
But now she'll actually come to me and say, "Mommy, I'm ready for my affirmations."
Oh,
and
that's so cute. Yeah.
I have hers memorized.
Yeah, sure, cuz you're saying them all the time.
Yeah, and then she just repeats it after me.
So now did we go through all of the charms? So what is that again? Creativity.
Yeah, creativity.
And then what
is that's just creating.
Drawing. Yep.
They're drawing, they're doing Play-Doh, they're doing some sort of creative play, they're dressing up.
So what time do they get up and what time are they going to school? Because I feel like my daughter would not have enough time to do all this. Like, she literally gets up and I feel like we need to eat and get her out the door to the bus. So what time do they get up and what time do you guys have to leave?
They usually get up around 7 and then we leave at 8:45. So we have a lot of time.
Because I'm thinking people might be like, I don't know how I'm going to get all those charms in. But let's just go through the letters really quick for people. So even if they can only do some of them. So the C is for creativity, and then the H is for
health.
Health. Okay. Yep. And so that's not counting exercise, right? That's them eating breakfast.
Well, it's them getting moving and eating breakfast. So, you know, like I said, the Simon Says.
Okay. So that is that part of that. Okay.
Yeah. We'll just turn on some music and have a dance party while we're making breakfast.
Okay. Yeah. And then A is for affirmations?
Affirmations.
Okay. And then the R is for?
Reading.
Reading. So they're just reading for a little bit? And is your daughter just looking through books? Oh, no. You're doing that in the car.
We do audiobooks in the car on the way to school a lot. Yeah. But sometimes Tyler's service will be to read to Ember. So,
oh, okay. Now, what would...
That card sometimes.
No. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that, all right, so you're at reading, and then M is for
meditation.
Okay, and that's them watching the sand go for a minute, and then the S is for service. Now, what would you have your daughter do at this age for service?
For service, so she'll feed the dog, she'll help me separate laundry.
Oh, yeah.
She'll
okay.
bring her dishes to the sink.
Yeah.
And then, she'll help clean up her toys.
Okay, gotcha. And then your son obviously is doing a little bit more complicated things like reading to his sister and stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah. So if people are wondering about your book, is there anything else that you want to share about the Miracle Morning that may help people, you know, with their mornings and stuff like that?
I think what I love about the Miracle Morning is that it's so flexible and you can make it your own. And, you know, it fits in to things you're already doing. If you're really religious and you already have a prayer practice or a Bible study that you're doing, like that can fit right into the Miracle Morning. And so I think that's what I love about it. And it's just really easy to remember, but it's not easy to do necessarily.
Oh, exactly. Yep. Yeah. Well, so we're at the end of the show, and I just wanted to give you the opportunity to let people know where they can find you and where they can purchase the Miracle Morning.
Yeah, so you can get the Miracle Morning on Amazon. And there's also, I think there's 7 books in the series now. So if, you know, the parent one doesn't necessarily resonate with you, there's the original one. There's one for realtors, network marketers, salespeople. The couples one is coming out on Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Now, do you have a website or anything like that?
Yeah. So I have a blog. It's called www.gratefulparent.com. And you can reach me there.
Yeah. Awesome. I didn't know if you had any other, you know, handles or anything like that you wanted to give out.
Well, we have a Facebook community too.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you give that out?
You connect with other parents who are doing the Miracle Morning. It's just the Miracle Morning for parents and families. You type that in, it should come up.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, it was fun.
And there you have it. Thanks so much for listening to the Mom Inspired Show. Just a reminder, if you're interested in Lindsay's book, you can go to themominspiredshow.com, click on her episode, which is 23, and in the show notes, there's a link to Amazon where you can find her book. All right, you guys, I hope you have a great day, and I'll see you next week.